Thank you for your faithful and generous participation in the offering. We really appreciate your generosity and just being obedient to what the Lord lays in your heart. We value your continued support and most certainly use it to the extension of God's kingdom and use it faithfully as the Lord lays on our hearts. We trust that you continue to do so and just be obedient in spite of the difficult times. And thank you to the care groups that are faithfully on duty Sunday after Sunday, just making sure that things run smoothly here on a Sunday. So let's just give a thank you to the care groups and all the behind-the-scenes people, Sunday after Sunday, they just make it work. You know who you are. I'd be doing somebody a discredit if I started mentioning names. So we just want to thank you for all of that this morning. This morning is going to be very, very different in the sense that I'm not bringing a sermon as such. There's no sermon title, but we're family here this morning, so we have some family business to discuss. Is that okay with everybody? So I want you to relax. You can greet somebody around you to your left and to your right and say, "Dankie toch, ek gaan nie preek nie." Maar jy gaan woord hoor, beslis. I'm going to read to you from the scriptures this morning, and we're just going to discuss a little bit of family business concerning the future of this church. The Lord has called me to Nepal, so I'm going to be leaving South Africa. No, just relax. Some of you are excited. Yes, Lord, you've answered our prayers. Some of you are oh. So we have some family business to discuss, and I'm going to be reading a portion of scripture out of the book of Revelations. And the reason I'm going to be doing it, we're going to read two whole chapters this morning. Imagine that. Reading two whole chapters. You know, when you have in-depth Bible study, you read the Bible verse by verse, and you study it verse by verse. But in the context on a Sunday, you read it verse with verse, and you read. But when you read two whole chapters, dan moet jy weet die pastoor is ernstig. The reason I'm going to read two whole chapters with you this morning is because Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3. I haven't given it to the guys, but I'm going to tell you. It says, God blesses the one who reads the words of this prophecy to the church. Amen. That's what the Bible says. So I'm about to be blessed. And it says, and he blesses all who listen to its message and obey what it says. For the time is near. That's why we're reading it this morning. So I want to give you that background. And in the background, in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, the apostle John is in exile on the Isle of Patmos. It's instructed to send letters to seven churches in close proximity to each other. And he's instructed to give letters about the revelation he receives from an angel sent by Jesus. The scripture says that God gave Jesus the revelation and Jesus sent his angel to the apostle John. And that's what we're going to read this morning. That's the background, and that's the backdrop. And there's seven letters that are written to seven churches. And if you look at the language used in the translation, it says, write this letter to the angel. Now, I'm no angel. How many of you can say amen? I'm no angel. But these letters are addressed to the seven angels of the angels of the churches, and it's actually the pastors of the churches. If God commissioned an angel to speak to me this morning, what would God say in his letter to Barker's Church? Where we are at in South Africa here and now in this day and age, we just had a conversation in the pre-service prayer meeting with Eugene, who's in education, he's a teacher, and the challenges he faced this week with children that he's called to tutor and to teach. The real challenges we face in this day and age in South Africa, here and now, the mess that we're experiencing in this nation, where there is no honest, godly leadership of integrity, and not only in South Africa, but in the world. What would be the letter that God would write to Barker's Church, Vaal Triangle? What would he be saying to me as the shepherd of this congregation? What would he be saying to us as the sons and daughters of God? And we're going to read through Revelation 2 and Revelation 3, and we're going to ask ourselves that question again. If God had to write a letter to us, what would he be saying? So these are the letters. that the Apostle John, instructions from the angel sent by Jesus, because God gave Jesus a revelation and the Lord sent his angel to John. Revelation chapter 2. So sit back, relax, listen attentively. Remember Revelation 1 and verse 3. It says, he blesses all who listen and obey because the time is near. Revelation chapter 2. I'm reading from the New Living Translation, the second edition. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Ephesus. This is a message from the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven gold lampstands. I know all the things you do. I've seen your hard work and your patient endurance. I know you don't tolerate evil people. You've examined the claims of those who say they are apostles but are not. You've discovered they are liars. You've patiently suffered for me without quitting. But I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. Look how far you've fallen. Turn back to me and do the works you did at first. If you don't repent, I will come and remove your lampstand from its place amongst the churches. But this is in your favor. You hate the evil deeds of the Nicolaitans just as I do. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. To everyone who is victorious, I will give fruit from the tree of life in the paradise of God. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Smyrna. This is the second church. This is a message from the one who is the first and the last, who was dead but is now alive. I know about your suffering and your poverty, but you are rich. I know the blasphemy of those opposing you. They say they are Jews, but they're not, because their synagogue belongs to Satan. Don't be afraid of what you are about to suffer. The devil will throw some of you into prison to test you. You will suffer for 10 days, but if you remain faithful, even when facing death, I will give you the crown of life. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he's saying to the churches. Whoever is victorious will not be harmed by the second death. The second death is separation from God, not the death of our bodies. The third church, the message to the church in Pergamum. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Pergamum. This is a message from the one with the sharp two-edged sword. I know that you live in the city where Satan has his throne. Oh, I thought it was supposed to be South Africa there. Yet you've remained loyal to me. You refused to deny me even when Antipas, my faithful witness, was martyred among you there in Satan's city. But I have a few complaints against you. You tolerate some among you whose teaching is like that of Balaam, who showed Balak how to trip up the people of Israel. You taught them to sin by eating food offered to idols and by committing sexual sin. In a similar way, you have some Nicolaitans among you who follow the same teaching. Repent of your sin, or I will come to you suddenly and fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he's saying to the churches. To everyone who is victorious, I will give some of the manna that has been hidden away in heaven. That sounds good. I will give to each one a white stone, and on the stone will be engraved a new name that no one understands except the one who receives it. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Thyatira, in that place. This is the message from the Son of God, whose eyes are like flames of fire, whose feet are like polished bronze. Wow. I know all things you do. I've seen your love, your faith, your service, your patient endurance, and I can see your constant improvement in all these things. I was so relieved when I found this scripture, Revelation 2 and verse 19, because I learned this mantra a couple of years ago. Nothing is ever so good that there's no room for improvement. And sometimes, as the lane to sin on dankbar right and always wanting to improve, sometimes a bit blurry. And I found this scripture. So I see that constant improvement is a scriptural thing if the heart is right. Verse 20, by this complaint against you, you are permitting that woman, that Jezebel who calls herself a prophet, to lead my servants astray. She teaches them to commit commit sexual sin and to eat foods offered to idols. I gave her time to repent, but she does not want to turn away from her immorality. Therefore, I will throw her on a bed of suffering, and those who commit adultery with her will suffer greatly unless they repent and turn away from the evil deeds. I will strike her children dead, and all the churches will know that I'm the one who searches out the thoughts and intentions of every person. I will give to each of you whatever you deserve. But I have also a message for the rest of you in Thyatira, who have not followed this false teaching, deeper truths as they call them, depths of Satan, actually. I will ask nothing more of you except that you hold tightly to what you have until I come. To all who are victorious, who obey me to the very end, to the very end, that is key. Finishing strong as Christians, not how we start, but how we finish. To them I will give authority over all the nations. You see, this walk of God, ladies and gentlemen, is like sport. You're only as good as your last result. Your team is the greatest till they're not anymore. They're greatest till they lose the last game. And done? Done? Verse 27. They will rule the nations with an iron rod and will smash them like clay pots. And they will have the same authority I've received from my Father, and I will also give to them the morning star. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he's saying to the churches. We're one chapter down. The next church, Revelation 3 and verse 1. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Sardis. This is a message from the one who has the sevenfold Spirit of God and the seven stars. I know all the things you do, and that you have a reputation of being alive, but you're dead. Wake up, strengthen what little remains, for even what is left is almost dead. I found that your actions do not meet the requirements of my God. Go back to what you heard and believed at first. Hold to it firmly. Repent and turn to me again. If you don't wake up, I will come to you suddenly as unexpected as a thief. Yet there are some in the church in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes with evil. They will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. All who are victorious will be clothed in white. I will never erase their names from the book of life, but I'll announce before my Father and his angels that they are mine. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he's saying to the churches. And this church is the only church that had no rebuke, just an encouragement. All the other six had an encouragement and a rebuke. This church was different. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Philadelphia. This is a message from the one who is holy and true, the one who has the key of David. What he opens, no one can close, and what he closes, no one can open. I know all the things you do, and I've opened a door for you that no one can close. You have little strength, yet you obeyed my word and did not deny me. Look, I will force those who belong to Satan's synagogue, those liars who say they are Jews but are not, to come and bow down at your feet. They will acknowledge that you are the ones I love. Because you've obeyed my command to persevere, I will protect you from the great time of testing that will come upon the whole world to test those who belong to this world. Who's the time of testing for? To the one who belongs to the world. Who's the time of testing for? To the ones who belong to this world. It is clear as daylight in the Scripture. Just one of the points of food for thought for the people who believe we get raptured at different times, whether you're pre-tribulationist, mid-tribulationist, post-tribulationist, the fact that Jesus is coming and there's a time of tribulation that's going to come. Verse 11, I'm coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take away your crown. All you who are victorious will become pillars in the temple of my God, and they will never have to leave it. And I will write on them the name of my God, and they will be citizens in the city of my God, the new Jerusalem that comes down from heaven from my God. And I will also write on them my new name. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. Last and but no means least, the church in Laodicea. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Laodicea. This is a message from the one who is the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's new creation. I know all things you do, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were one or the other. Sometimes we speak about, you know, you must be on fire for God and not go cold. No, sometimes you need cold, refreshing water, like the freshness of snow, not being lukewarm. That's the difference. But since you are like lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Picture that. God saying, picture that, ladies and gentlemen. Picture how vivid this description is. You say I'm rich. I have everything I want. I don't need a thing. But you don't realize that you're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. So I advise you to buy gold from me, gold that has been purified by fire. Then you will be rich. Also buy white garments from me so that you will not be ashamed by your nakedness, and anoint your eyes so that you'll be able to see. I correct and discipline everyone I love. How many of you have experienced correction and discipline from the Lord? So be diligent and turn from your indifference. Ah, well, it's not really my business. Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. And we will share a meal together as friends. We spoke last week about the significance of having a meal together with believers. Isn't it interesting that Jesus chose a meal for communion to share his new covenant with us at a meal? Those who are victorious will sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat with my Father on his throne. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he's saying to the churches. My brothers and sisters, friends, Romans, countrymen, Chaliftus, I ask you this morning, if God had to write a letter, what would he be saying to Barker's church? That's quite a mouthful, but I believe it was important that we listened to the rebuke and to the encouragement to each of those churches. So as the pastor of this church, I had to wonder and humble myself before God and say, God, what would you write? In fact, not what would you write, but rather, what are you saying right now? You see, the Bible is filled with truth. Would you agree with me? But ladies and gentlemen, truth is where God was. Revelation is where God is at now. Can you see the difference? Truth needs to become revelation for us to understand what God is saying to us here and now. All we desire as a leadership of this church is to be obedient to God. I get this. Ever since I have taken on any ministry responsibility, I came to learn this soon in my walk with God. People come and people go. It's like a bus. People will get on and people will get off. As the driver of the bus, you keep going to the destination that's written on the front of that bus. It's a fact of life. Mense gaan mense wees. Does it hurt? Of course it does. For me, who has a shepherd's heart, it's like a divorce every time. I never get used to it. It's a piece of you that tears away because you invest your life into other people. Maar as ek daar moet stop en brom en moan en groan oor die wat afgeklim het, daai bus gaan nêrens heen nie. Wat nog vir die mense wat nog steeds op die bus is, wat nog steeds met die goddelike bestemming wil beland eendag. Wat doen ons dan? So we have to keep on keeping on. If I just have to stop at truth, we will never get to the revelation of where God is telling us. So I say that to tell you this, that what I'm going to share with you now is something that we believe as the leadership of this church God has laid on our hearts to do. Is that okay? All we are interested in, brothers and sisters, is being obedient to the Lord God. I understand that not everybody will be happy, but guess what? We're not in the people-pleasing business. I know, I'll be the first to admit that as a church, especially as a pastor, I don't have everything that everybody needs. Did you get that? I don't have what everybody needs. This church does not have what everybody needs. But for those who God sends here, what they need is here. God knows exactly what His body needs. Is that okay with you, church? Fienamala, I beat people. No, the Lord has said. And ek het hierdie bevestiging gekry. I got this confirmation and that confirmation and this prophecy and that. And God has sent them here and then they're here. And then it gets to that place in their life where their season has come and gone. They enter into a new season where they then have to go elsewhere. I say, okay, if Romans 11:29 says that the gifts and the call of God are irrevocable, when did God uncall you? Sir? Ma'am? I understand that God moves people on, but the majority of what we've experienced in ministry, God hasn't called them. Hulle het maar net gemove. They got tired, they got fed up, they got discouraged. Maybe they didn't backslide. Maybe they simply didn't share the vision anymore. Then that's okay. Then find out what vision it is that God wants you to stay true and faithful to till the end. But folks, if you know that God has called you here, man, stick it out through thick and thin, the good times and the bad times. Wait for the honeymoon period to go and wait for real life to start happening. You see, because when most people join churches, they see like the highlights, the kind of things that you just see on Facebook. It's just the highlights and all the Photoshop pictures on social media. That's the kind of idea that we get that, oh, hierdie kerk is so wonderlik. En pastoor, dit was die beste preek. Totdat ek daai preek lewer wat die Here vir jou sê, jy moet bely and you've got to change your life. Dan is dit nie meer so lekker preek nie. Dan die volgende Sondag is jou opgawe nou heel wat minder. Come on, I'm being real with you. Can anybody relate to what I'm saying? So what I'm about to share with you is along these lines. I wonder what the Lord God would say to us. I need to give you a history of Bikers Church. The ministry of the Christian Motorcyclists Association was never a good idea. It was not a good idea. It was a God idea, birthed in the heart of the late Herb Shreve, who looked for a way to reach out to his wayward son, who was busy sowing his wild oats. And they were motorcycling enthusiasts, and God laid on his heart, the only living God laid on his heart to start CMA. To reach motorcyclists, their friends and family, and it was started in America by the late Herb Shreve. And then God raised up a man here in South Africa, Rene Shangyon, to do the same. And they hooked up with each other, got permission in 1978, and CMA was started in South Africa, and it was great. We're winning motorcyclists, their friends and family to the Lord one heart at a time. There was nothing and nobody else in the world, I say the world, at that time, that had prophetic confirmation to reach out their motorcyclists, to reach out to motorcyclist friends and family. And also in South Africa, there was nobody doing that. And that went on for several years until God convicted Renee that the scripture says that we are called to make disciples and not converts. So what was happening is people were giving their lives at the motorcycling events, the day draws and the rallies, and CMA was not discipling them. So we were making converts, and that's great, and relying on other churches to disciple those fish that were caught. And the late Ed Raybert, who's one of the founder members of Hatfield Church, spoke to Renee and said, young man, that's good what you're doing, but God has called you to make disciples. Who's discipling these people? And as a result, in 1990, Bikers Church was started with prophetic confirmation. Why do I say prophetic confirmation? I'll tell you why. So nobody was doing that. And Bikers Church, for the first time in the world, was started in South Africa with prophetic confirmation. What do I mean by that? Some people go out and just do things on their own because of their own desire, their own motives of their heart, and that's great and it's wonderful. And will there be fruit on that? Well, as long as the gospel is preached, there will be fruit because the gospel is preached. We see it in the scriptures. Some of the disciples came back to Jesus and said, hey, Lord, these people are doing things, yeah, and they're not with us. Jesus said, look, as long as the gospel is being preached, the gospel is being preached. Let them go and do their thing. And sometimes there's prophetic confirmation and sometimes there isn't. Amos 3 and verse 7 says the following. Indeed, the sovereign Lord never does anything until he reveals his plans to his servants, the prophets. So I cannot speak for all the other bikers churches that started as a result of people that came through the ranks in this ministry and then moved out and planted churches. I cannot speak for that, but this ministry was founded on prophetic confirmation. And unless a person has prophetic confirmation, I'm not sure how long-lasting that fruit will be. And then things happened in the ministry where we made mistakes. We made lots of mistakes, and other people made mistakes. Offense was given, and offense was taken. It got to a point where every biker who remembered John 3:16 started a biker's church. And it was groot moeilikhede onder die Christen bikers, and it was a mess. We, and I'll include us first in the list, were setting a very, very bad example to the unsaved world as to how Christians should conduct themselves. And all of this was done in the name of Christianity, in the name of CMA, and in the name of Barker's Church. But because God is God, and when his body messes up to the point where only he can fix it, he fixes it. And we've come a long way since then in restoring good, godly, solid working relationships amongst the many Christian ministries that there are in South Africa and in the world today. Ons het mekaar eye to eye gesien and spoke heart to heart and asked for forgiveness and repentance for the harm that we done to each other. Because like I said, offense was given and offense was taken. And God is busy restoring that. And I don't know about you, ladies and gentlemen, but that is good news. Because it's hoogtyd that the Christian motorcycle ministry started working with each other. For several years, I think it's last year was the 12th one, I think. I don't know, it's past 10. Unity rides that were being organized where the Christians were just getting together and say, guys, let's find common ground. And the challenge is this, ladies and gentlemen, we can believe the same things, but when we have difference of values, we're always going to bump heads. You can't just say, oh, well, we all believe the same God, if it's the God who sent Jesus to die to pay for the sin of mankind and raised him from the dead, the God of the Bible. We can believe the same God, so we must get on. No. If we have different values, we're always going to be bumping heads. So it's one thing to have different beliefs, but it's another thing altogether when you have the same beliefs but different values. So as a result, over the years, we had account after account after account where people would go visit a biker's church and then talk to people and they'd say, oh, what did you do this weekend? No, I went to biker's church. And great. Oh, what was that like? No, it was interesting because afterwards the pastor went somewhere with the guys and started drinking just as much, in fact, a little bit too much as the rest of the guys at the bar. I said, but hang on a second. What biker's church is that? No, it's this one. Yeah, and they said, whoa, no, hang on a second. No. You were not at the CMA Bikers Church. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not saying for one second that the churches that were birthed out of CMA are the bee's knees or God's favorite. That's not what I'm saying. All I'm saying is this, and get this, for those of you that are here listening and for those watching online, there's different value systems in the different bikers churches. And that is the fact. And as long as there's a difference of values, God will have to help us get along with each other. Is that okay? So as a result, people that have different values as to can and cannot, as to what is and what isn't allowed when it comes to ministering to motorcyclists, we quickly learned that there's a difference of values. And say, how can we still make a godly impact on people's lives? And what I'm going to share with you this morning is just me being Mozzie. Is that okay? And forgive me if it's offensive to some, but I need to be true to what is on my heart. It got to a point where some of the activities that were reported that was allowed, that was being done by pastors within CMA as well and outside of CMA, the Bikers Churches, got me thinking, well, if that's the kind of conduct that that's going to be associated with bikers' churches. If people want the name, let them have the name. In 2009, we had a meeting with folks that saw that God was doing something amongst the motorcyclists and wanted to work with us. And we said, great, that's fine. We have no problem. We're excited if people start sharing the vision, but can we just at least get to know each other, to understand our value system and work with each other like that before we just start using the name? And we had this meeting. At the time we had the meeting where the people were asking to use the name of Bikers Church, behind our backs, they'd already gone to the Department of Registrar of Companies and registered the name Bikers Church behind our backs before they had the meeting with us to ask if we can use the name, to give you an idea of the kind of person that we were dealing with. Why do I tell you all of this? So as a result of that, several of the Bikers churches in South Africa have changed their names. Some of them for very, very, for negative reasons, because of the mess-ups that were made. And I say that to our chagrin, in other words, to our discredit. Because of the mess-ups that were made in the area by the Bikers churches birthed from CMA, and others for very, very good and valid reasons. So they had name changes. Close by to us, Midrand Bikers Church, which was the head office from where all the Bikers churches were sent out, the ones who were birthed out of CMA, changed their name because within a 65-kilometer radius, they had six churches with the name Bikers Church. Waartoe gaan ons met dit julle? Here in the Vaal Triangle, which is a lot smaller, three. We've had to change names on the website and on Facebook and on all over just to try and get clarity as to who's who here in this zoo called Bikers Churches. And I say that as an umbrella statement over all of us. And thank God he's restoring us. I don't want to come across as negative. He's restoring us and he's busy working in all of our hearts. Is that okay? We're all a work of grace in progress. Nobody has arrived, least of all me. So several names have changed. The Windhoek Bikers Church is Lifeline. The Garden Root Bikers Church is Life Connect. The East London Bikers Church is Lifehouse. The Midrand Bikers Church is Lifeline, is Life Central. So when these name changes started taking place, obviously, needless to say, people started asking, well, Mozzie, are you guys going to change your name? I'm like, no, we don't need to. We're getting on fine with each other. We think we've gotten to the point where people know and understand the difference between the other bikers' churches around us and us over here. There's no particular need for that. And then something happened. Look, we have had incidences in the past where people would ask, We're non-bikers and stuff like that. Are we welcome at Bikers Church? Of course you are welcome. Anybody and everybody is welcome at Bikers Church. How many of you are not bikers have experienced that you're welcome here? Can I just see a show of hands, please? If you're not a biker, just keep your hands up. Just look around, ladies and gentlemen. Just keep your hands up, please. Okay, thank you. You can put your hands down. So that what you've seen there is the tendency throughout the country. The majority of the congregants throughout the Bikers churches in South Africa, and when I say the Bikers churches, I mean the ones that were birthed from CMA, are non-bikers. They just like what happens there. And we're fine with that. You don't have to have a bike. I mean, you don't even have to own a wheelbarrow to be part of this church. So as a result, their name changes. And each individual pastor had different valid, credible reasons why it was important to change the name. So one pastor, whose name I'm not going to mention, was standing in a queue somewhere talking to somebody, and they saw the CMA patch and stuff like that, and the conversation was open, and it was flowing, it was great, it was lacquer, the person was receptive and warm towards the pastor, and then the guy said, I'm from Bikers Church. And the guy said, oh. And he turned around and walked away, and the conversation was ended, and immediately there was a wall built because of mistakes of the past and because of the mess that existed because of the splits in the bikers' churches and the different Christian ministries that had started reaching out to motorcyclists. The pastor then just wanted to know from the guy, look, I noticed a distinct change in your heart and in your attitude when I mentioned this. Why is it? So that's just one of the several reasons. So we were asked, you know, are we going to change the name? I'm like, no, there's no reason until this happened. So we had an opportunity to meet a gentleman called Kim Ludbrook. Kim Ludbrook is that journalist that was spent some time with us here. He's a journalist for an international media, an international publication. He spent time with us, got to see what we were about, went with us in some of the outreaches to some of the other churches. And something in his article really started me asking some serious questions. And in his article, after I spent time with us, his words in the article, how many of you have read that article that Kim put in the Citizen newspaper? Okay. Very few of you. In his article, amongst other things, he said, and even non-bikers are welcome at that church. And I'm like, Lord, what else do we have to do to get the message across that non-bikers are welcome? Is it possible that if a person is seeking and they're in the area and they do a Google search and they look up church, that when the name comes up, Bikers Church, that they were perhaps steered away because they thought, I'm not a biker, it's not my thing, I don't own a motorcycle. Is it possible that they perhaps ended up not being in this house of fellowship because of that? Is it possible? What else do we have to do to get the message across that non-bikers are welcome in this church? And I want to say this to you. Ladies and gentlemen, it is 2022. The time and the season where Bikers Church was a unique, different, significant concept has gone many, many, many years ago. Why do I say that? There was a time when a biker, if his motorcycle rocked up outside, dan was die mense al klaar af. They were klaar toe. Because it's a biker, he was not welcome here. Isn't it true? Huh? It's true. That time period has come and gone a long time ago. Often today, people invite the bikers. Why? Because it's a draw card that attracts people. They want something for the men to get interested in, or something for the men to talk about, or something that will get the children excited, so they invite Christian bikers to come and entertain the saints. Ex lang gulf by die entertaining the saints on a Sunday thing. Now mense raak opgewonde, hey, we got a couple of new members to CMA. Now all you've done is move them from one church to another, but you've gained no new person for the kingdom of God. I'm just leaving that there. So that concept in that time period where bikers were not welcome in the churches come and gone long time ago. I want to say this, that indeed is a season that has come and gone. Many churches today have groups of guys who are motorcycling enthusiasts that live out their life and faith with Jesus among motorcyclists themselves anyway. It is langal nie meer uniek nie. So that time, that season where bikers in the church is unique. So because it's 2022, I want to say this to you. Are you guys still listening? Is this okay with you? I'm going to get to the point. Just bear with me, okay? It's important because what we're talking about this morning is not changing what's printed on a piece of paper, but something that has a kingdom significance in the lives of people. Because it's 2022, if we as a church are only focused on getting the gospel to motorcyclists, we've lost the plot. We're missing God. If we are only focused, if all I'm focusing on is what the activities and the outreaches of CMA and ignoring the rest of the needs of people around us as a church, ladies and gentlemen, we're missing the point. Before any of the churches changed their names, my heart's desire has been this, that reaching out to motorcyclists must be one of the things that we do as a church. Aren't we called to become all things to all men, that by all means we might reach some? Now here's the deal. I realize that you can find anything in the scripture, or you can find some scripture to justify anything that you are doing. You're going to find some scripture to say, maar die Bybel sê, en dan gaan jy, en dan doen die ding. But ladies and gentlemen, what I'm saying to you is a real, real heart issue that we've sought the Lord's face on about diligently. Those other guys who changed the church names, those pastors, not one of them got together with any one of them, made a call and said, this is what I want to do, this is the name I've thought up, this is what we believe God has given us, and this is what